Yart.
Hello and welcome to episode 75 of the Praise the Game podcast. I am Pete, joined by my brother Andrew and Nick Moses.
Hello.
This is our two-year anniversary episode of Praise the Game, your source for news, trends, and events in the gaming industry.
Hello.
We have a pretty loaded What's Loaded Up today. We're going to be talking about a lot of games that have come out in the last few weeks. We're going to talk about what's coming out soon. Some big things have happened in the news. And then we're going to talk about, including the Nintendo Direct that has been kind of long-awaited. And then Andrew is hosting a You Gambled, our trivia game
show. Was it long-awaited? It kind of came out of nowhere.
No, it's been a while since we've had one.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So people were excited about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're celebrating our 2 years of PTG. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We're going to be having some special giveaways coming up on our Twitter, particularly right now. By the time you're listening to this, maybe you will see a post on our Twitter account. Keep up with that this week. And also, we're planning on having eventually some giveaways on our community Discord. So if you'd like to join and get in on the PTG community, check it out. We got the link on our Twitter as well and other places like our website.
Yes.
So, how have you guys been? It's been a few weeks.
It's been a few weeks.
Yeah.
It's been, we haven't podcasted in what, 3 weeks
now?
I think
few.
Something
an exact,
like
an
that.
Exact few.
It's the longest I think we've ever gone. Yeah. Or maybe not. Maybe we did a 3 week once,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it one time.
3 weeks there, dude.
But it's still long. It's still long. Yeah. I'm chilling. I got really sick last week. So yeah. I was just in bed. And usually when you get sick, you know, when you're an adult and you're like, oh yeah, I'm sick. It's like, you're usually not all that bad. You're like,
yeah.
You're like, I'm just going to take off from work and use a sick day.
Yeah.
No, I was fucked up and I couldn't do shit. I was like, I usually am wanting to play games, do things like that. I didn't play anything for five days.
We
I just sat there. Well, that was later in the cycle of it. Like for the first 4 days, I just sat there,
fucked up in your bed. Just
yeah, my legs were hot. They were like
struggling to breathe.
My legs felt like warm fucking like Slim Jims. They were like Slim Jims, but they were hot and they were pulsing.
Oh,
my legs were fucking hot and weird.
I don't even know what that. That's like
Slim Jim.
I'm imagining like a Dark Souls.
I was
boss.
Sweating. I was looking at the ceiling and just talking nonsense because I didn't know where it was anymore. I had fever dreams. It was bad.
You looked like you were had no more humanity, and you were just like
basically. I was just a meat boy.
You're just a meat boy.
Yeah. So that was my.
That's not very good.
What?
That was well. Also, I got these pets. You mentioned mantises.
Yeah.
I got these two fucking African ghost praying mantises on my desk now.
They're cool.
They're cool looking. I got some pets, so they're hanging out. I'm a bug boy.
You're Bug Boy now. How about you, Nick? How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
This hat on.
Got this hat?
Yeah, it's got a roach
on
it.
Oh, actually,
it's got a roach on it.
He's got a roach.
Sorry, Nick. Are you chilling?
I'm chilling. I'm all right.
You went upstate. You fucking chilled.
Yeah. Had to do a little bit of traveling and then cover for the boss. But like, you know, it was a regular week otherwise.
Regular life.
Yeah.
Regular adulthood.
Yeah, pretty much, actually.
Doing the job. Doing the things.
Yeah.
And then now we're doing the podcast again.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thanks. I've been fine also by myself.
No one asked you. We're
going
to move on now.
Me.
Yeah, you're good. But we know you weren't good.
I'm alive. I'm well. That's all you need to know.
I don't know about the well part.
No, yeah, we've been asking since the first second this podcast started. I don't know if you're good.
You know, I'm just
I had fever gonna... dreams and I'm more worried about you. I got these hot legs and you're over here.
You got
like,
Slim Jim legs. Yeah. You got cold sweat. You got sweaty
yeah,
Slim Jims.
Slim Jim Johnson over there. What the fuck?
Slim Jim Johnson.
Yeah, I literally, it was to the point where I put like everything I need on my nightstand so that I didn't have to move out of my bed. I had like water splashing around. I splashed water all over my desk, like
in the middle of the night.
Spilled food everywhere. Like I was fucking up for a week.
Did I ever tell you about that time when I was a kid and I like, you know how every once in a while when you're sleeping, you'll get like knee jerk reactions because of the dream you're in?
Yeah.
There was a full as fuck glass of water next to my bed. And in the middle of the night, I just slapped it and spilled water all over
the place. A full as fuck glass?
It was like a full 12 ounces or something. I don't know.
Break the glass?
What?
Did you break the glass?
It was plastic.
Oh. But you splashed it everywhere.
It was all.
And was it on like your nightstand that had paper and things on there too?
Yeah, no, it just went all over the floor.
So you fucked up bad.
Because last 4th of July, actually, when we were at your guys' house.
Yeah.
Because I was wasted that 4th of July.
I remember.
I came home and I had a full glass of water on my nightstand.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up and I just dropped it and it shattered into a million pieces.
Wait, where?
Did it fall in slow motion?
No. All over my little nightstand next to my bed.
Oh.
I don't know why that reminded me, but.
Yeah, classic. Sometimes you just fuck up.
I was
and that's
so drunk. I was just like, water.
Explode there. Hydrated.
Oh, no.
All right. Good job, everybody. Why don't we talk about the billion games we've been playing for the last 3 weeks?
What's loaded there?
Ow! What's loaded there?
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Nick, you're in the trash.
Finally came out.
Like, actually, if you look at this list, it's like trash.
Yeah.
Everything on here is garbage. Just kidding. Not for just you. I mean everybody, but...
There's been some trash that I've had to wade through.
Tell us about Kingdom Hearts. This is a game we've wanted to shut up about for a year.
Yeah, so now with this definitive episode of the podcast, Kingdom Hearts
2 years.
Will be swept away from our vernacular, hopefully for a while.
I mean, never talk about it, just like we don't talk about Breath of the Wild anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're the one who just brought it up, so fuck you.
Yeah, what the fuck? Anyway, Kingdom Hearts, I don't even know how to describe it.
Really?
Because I was thinking to myself, if I ever had to review this game, I wouldn't know how to do it because I don't know what it is.
Do you even know what's going on anymore?
No. I've played most of the mobile games and the other.
Did you play the the decimal one?
I watched a video review of that a while back. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even if you played every single game, it wouldn't matter.
Okay.
Because this is just so nonsensical. Nothing makes any... You're not supposed to understand it. I don't think you are.
Okay.
But... Like, is that the point of it, though? Is it fun?
The point is to, like, explore the Disney worlds, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, most of us are probably why we're playing it. But, like, you'd expect these games, like Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 came out when we were young. And, like, it was kind of okay to be like, hey, this is kind of kid-friendly, goofy, kind of fun.
Yeah.
You'd expect, whatever it is, 13 years later, Kingdom Hearts 3 would have been matured because the audience that grew up with it would have grown up with it. Just a little bit. I'm not asking for like some edgy teen bullshit.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
I'm looking for just some slight preteen edge bullshit.
Yeah.
It's not even. It's still just as kiddie as ever. So like I'm like banging my head against the wall because the dialogue is written by like a 6-year-old.
Oh, man.
I wonder if they ever considered modernizing it a bit more, but they were struck by that whole pressure of like, well, are people going to be expecting it to be like how it was?
Yeah, I don't know.
And we don't want to ruin people's nostalgia, so we're just going to make it essentially the same, right, as it was for PS2.
Dude, the power of friendship.
Is that the whole plot?
Everywhere. All the time. Power of friendship.
So at this point, the plot makes no sense to you.
Yep.
You're just going. And is it fun?
The combat's pretty polished. It has its drawbacks. They added rides. Everyone was excited about adding the rides.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
I don't know about that.
Like the Disney rides and fireworks and shit.
Yeah, it seems cool, right? And maybe it's like big set piece moments or boss battles, but that's not how it works. In practice, like one enemy out of a group of enemies that spawns, if you kill them within a certain amount of time, you get to just fucking spawn a ride.
Oh.
But that's all the time.
So you're just riding around.
Literally all the time.
So after like the 40th time, it's like, all right, I'm done.
And it's a long process, like getting in and out and music changes. And not only that, the button it's mapped to, which is triangle, is the action button for opening treasure chests and like going up and down ladders and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So like it'll be on like a 40-second timer where it's like, you can use this, by the way. And then you'll be like, yeah, I'm going to go open this treasure chest, but you're like not close enough to the chest to really open it. So you're spamming triangle. Then it's like, well, too bad. Now we're riding Splash Mountain instead of fucking open this treasure chest.
Oh my gosh.
And I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me.
So it's frustrating. It came out after fucking billion years and it's not perfect.
Some baffling decisions in terms of quality of life that like, other games around it have just far surpassed it.
Yeah.
You can tell it's wearing its age back when it was first being developed.
So you're basically just like, trudging through the mud with this.
I just want to see it to its end, and that'll be it.
And then you're done forever on this franchise.
Yeah, I'm good. There's no Final Fantasy characters. They took them out. I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm
it's like right. You're done now.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to report back.
Well, Pete, are you gonna play it?
I don't think so. I bought a copy for the kids at the library, and I was happy to see that they checked it out. So somebody's playing it somewhere in the world.
I mean, they'll get enjoyment out of it. Like if you have someone that's like, oh, I fucking love Frozen and Toy Story.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I heard that they do the entire rendition of the Let It Go song, like almost cut for cut, except every once in a while, it just like cuts to Goofy going, gorsh.
It's not okay.
And they're like, oh.
That sounds horrible.
It's not okay.
Like if the song wasn't already trash enough, just add Goofy to it.
But like the animation looks fantastic. Like,
the game looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It looks great.
The graphics are really cool.
It would be cool if you could just sit around and explore these worlds, but then they added this system where like you cook meals, so like there's ingredients just kind of hidden throughout the world.
Yeah.
But like I'm sure, I don't know if you've looked at the memes or not, but the biggest meme right now is just fucking Donald being like, I think there's ingredients around here, but like in fucking Donald Duck voice. Every 5 goddamn seconds.
Yeah.
I think there's an ingredient around here.
Yeah.
So literally the entire time you're walking around, you have to listen to that shit.
This is Donald Duck just fucking...
It sounds like the game is annoying to play.
It is. What the thing is? It's a little bit.
I feel like to be the type of person to have enjoyed these games thus far, you have to have a certain tolerance for the, like.
And I do. So that's why I'm able to find enjoyment in it in some time. Yeah. So it's not as bad as getting through my next game on my list.
Yeah. So you reviewed Y2K, a postmodern RPG for us, which you can see on the website. But
most you were talking the hot about take. The, give us the one liner.
Most of my thoughts are in that review, but ultimately this game is trash.
Like, it's trash.
Like, I don't like to use that. You know,
I mean, we like to use.
Yeah, we
that
like
term.
To use it, but like, it actually is trash. That's the thing. It's like it wants to take itself so seriously for what it is, and it's just not good enough to really pull that off.
Well, you were saying for like what it's trying to achieve, it kind of like.
Yeah,
shot itself in its own foot.
It missed the boat on what makes the 90s RPGs really good that it's supposed to be paying homage to. And there's so many inconsistencies of quality between the artwork, between the music, between the writing. It's just one thing will look beautiful. The next thing looks like it was made in Microsoft Paint. Then you got these beautiful bunch of VSTs they probably spend so much money on for their music. And then they'll come up with this really shitty 8-bit synth that just
hurts your ears.
Just EQ it better. Do something to blend these better, because it doesn't sound good. The music, like, you have some good melodies, but it just doesn't. It's not mixed well.
Yeah.
So that's.
Well, it's an indie game, so it was definitely a good thing for you to review because it had potential. Like, you didn't say in your review it has a lot of things and influences. Like, if anyone was to enjoy it of us three, it would be you.
Also, the references, some of them you said were pretty good.
That's, straight up,
that's where they nailed it. Was the actual just like. I don't want to say breaking the fourth wall, but breaking the fourth wall, like references.
The meta-ness.
The meta, yeah.
Yeah.
Like references to the Final Fantasy. Like, you can tell they played the games and really enjoyed the games. Like, there's a scene where there's 13 copies of this person. And like, you talk to the first one and it's like, wow, there's more of me than there are Final Fantasy games. And then you get to the 13th one and the 13th one's like, hey, I tried to reinvent the series, but like, I really didn't do good. And it's just like, if you didn't understand they were talking about Final Fantasy, that would have went right over your head.
Yeah.
But like, that was hilarious. I was cracking up at that. So like, it has those moments, but then there's ultimately just too many bugs and little things.
Especially like the major bug you told me on the train of how at the ending of the game, you weren't able to beat the final boss.
Andy listened to this live, actually. I was so, I don't know. I'm not going to say overpowered, because I was just doing what I would normally do in an RPG. I wasn't really spending too much time to grind. There's the last boss you're supposed to lose. My guys were leveled up enough to the point where like I went first and I killed it in one turn. But you can't kill it because it only drops to one HP. But if you do that, the two little minions that the last boss spawns with can't use the instant wipe that's supposed to be able to use when your party, like, you're supposed to die.
Yeah.
So I had 19 turns in a row of trying to kill the last boss who was stuck at one HP and nothing happened.
Yeah, that's very frustrating.
So that's why when I was like, all right, it's a 5.8, now it's a 5.6.
Yeah, you can't beat the game.
It was the last fight.
I know, and then for the like any fight. Hype building up to that, it's like deflated completely.
I was almost out of there.
Yeah. Anyway.
Another game you beat, you've been playing The Forest, a game we mentioned on the podcast recently, but you got your college buddies on board with it, and then you guys made a hard server and then have been chugging through the story. You've been dead set on trying to actually see this game through.
Yeah.
As opposed to just living in the world and just like enjoying the day-to-day battles with Skreeze.
Yeah, we talked about the day-to-day a lot when we talked about it, but we didn't mention, we said that there was like an overarching story, but...
Now you know the story.
This game, like, I think, was it $20, right?
$15.
Like 15, whatever it was, like, super worth it in the long run.
Oh, yeah.
The story picks up in intensity and like, dark and, like, edgy, kind of, but... It's super like sci-fi in a way, and it's if you didn't know that's what you were getting into, it's really cool to have your expectations slowly change
and
be sculpted. You're like, wait a minute, this actually goes way deeper than just a survival game, which is sick. And just the way it wraps up and the intensity it picks up, I think it's definitely a worthwhile play to actually try to beat it. You know, having a story like that versus having a survival game, they kind of clash with each other, because a survival game, you kind of want to stay in one place and build your base out, versus a story, you want to progress. So it's weird, like, when do we decide to want to beat it? And we picked, I think, a good point. I don't know how many days we were in, but like, our base was unbeatable. We couldn't lose. So we were like, all right, this is it. Let's just go exploring. Literally the rest of the time, we'll make other bases. We ended up beating it, which was definitely, I recommend if we can get back into it, for you guys to go back and beat.
Yeah, I'll 100% play this game again. It's definitely one of those games that I like to keep on the rotation. And I'm really glad with what happened with this game, because I was on a whim just like, oh, let me try this. This looks cool. I had talked to my friend Dan about it.
Yeah.
And then this is so much up your alley, Nick, and you had it on your radar too, but then now look at it. Like, you already beat it. You like, you're into it. Yeah. And you like this game. Like, it's a good ass fucking survival game.
It also goes to show that,
with
like,
a good story.
There are so many games that launch, like indie games that launch in early access and end up being like kind of bad. And it's easy to overlook these games because of that, like, sort of just huge amount to wade through. So it is nice to finally be to find one, be like, oh, this one is good. It's actually, like, to do a stupid phrase, it's a diamond in the rough, like, it's or whatever,
it,
you know, needle in a haystack,
is.
You gotta but it's important, especially on Steam when there's so much shit on there
to wade through.
Every once in a while I'm making a habit of just looking through, like, oh, that actually looks good, oh, people are actually interested in that, okay. And there is a lot of good stuff out there.
If you like the TV show Lost, this is, play this.
Yeah.
It's so up that like realm of mystery before it gets shitty, obviously. Yeah. But
and, or just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It doesn't get too far up its own ass.
Yeah, smoke monsters.
Check it out, y'all. It's cheap and it's good. And it's on Xbox too, I think. Or PlayStation.
PlayStation.
So check that shit out. It's a good game.
Well, let's talk about more sci-fi and maybe perhaps some
all the betas and demos here. I can't believe this was in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah,
since we
had a lot. It's
been a lot.
Some big stuff here.
So Anthem is coming out very soon, and we were able to play the demo.
Next big thing.
Andy and I played the demo a little bit, and I kind of want you guys to just direct some questions at me. Like,
So I played an hour of it, and I was done with it after an hour.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Division.
Well, when you were playing with me, you were like, well, this is exactly how I thought it would be, and I can see it making a ton of money.
I tweeted about it, right? And I said, it was the least exciting big game testing I've ever done in my life.
But
I've never been less excited to play a game in my life, I think, than Anthem.
Yeah.
I almost fell asleep. It was like if I was in the movie theater, I would have walked out.
But you say that because it's another, like, all right, here's a looter shooter, whatever game, kind of grindy, Destiny type, kill lots of enemies, rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Right? It looks fairly generic. It's not.
No,
like,
fairly?
Very generic.
Listen, this is my take. I'll give my hot take and I'll let you talk a little bit more about it, and I'll ask questions too. But basically, there is nothing unique about this game.
Well,
period.
There is one thing.
There, like,
which is the gameplay itself. The whole thing it has going for it is that you can essentially be Iron Man, right?
I'm talking about the flying mechanic.
The flying mechanic is
one thing.
And you agree that is very satisfying, right?
It's satisfying to jump around to do that, but then it's immediately hampered by the fact that there's loading screens every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And every time you go through a new little tunnel area, you're hitting a loading screen, just like Destiny in a lot of ways.
Like where you're transitioning into
things. And the load screens might not take forever, but it's breaking the action. If you want to feel like Iron Man flying around, you want to keep fucking flying around in a seamless world.
Yeah.
It's not seamless. And I think the one thing, which is to fly around, is hampered.
But you also told me that you saw it making a shit ton of money. So,
well, because it's junk food. It's
got,
like,
that broad
it's
appeal.
It's like a Marvel movie. You know what I mean? It's like they're gonna get this game just like Destiny or whatever, and it's just gonna be. It's not to question the intelligence of an audience, but basically, it's just like a comfort food game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and the same thing with the Division, honestly, if we wanted to, like, ease into a segue there, is that I've been struck with this question in my head of, like, why am I more interested in the Division than I am?
Which we played both.
With Anthem.
Yeah.
And
all three of us
have played now the Division 2 beta, and that game is coming out next month as well. I'm excited for it, and I can't exactly pin why. It might be because I like Ubisoft as a developer.
So again, I'll just say again, I felt the same way, almost same exact way as Division. My boredom was this, like Anthem. Like, if it wasn't for you and Mike, Nick, being there, I would have just been like, I don't care, like, at all.
Yeah.
It's just, you're running around shooting people, picking up blue or fucking purple items, and then moving on. And it's the same thing over and over again. Like, looter games need to... That's a genre that needs a big fucking change, man. Because these games, especially from the big developers, are so samey.
Yeah,
they're not fun to me. And this is a genre that I love. Like, I'll play the shit out of Diablo. I played 90 hours of Path of Exile in 2 weeks. Like, that's testament.
So do you think maybe you also
how much
like,
I like
sort
it.
Of? Do you think maybe you sort of burnt yourself out?
No,
I don't.
No, Path of Exile is unique and has a lot to offer.
That's exactly. Yeah, like when Division 1 came out. You know, instantly I was like, this is Destiny, but third person in New York. And I've seen plenty of people say Anthem is just Destiny with flying, which is probably a pretty fair way to describe it.
It's very fair.
And the Division Two, like, if it's just going to be more of the Division One, I mean, we don't know that up front. But from what we played, it's essentially the same thing. The
just like a continued version of the polish they had towards the end of Division 1's life.
It's weird. Like, these are the kind of things, and I'm so, like, I want these things to become, like the way between Destiny 1 and Destiny 2. Like, why aren't these expansion packs? Why aren't these DLCs? Why are these full games? Like, the inspiration well either is dry, or this is a quick buck, literally, for Anthem, quick buck for Division, quick buck when Destiny 2 came out.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's almost a bigger picture question of... Are we still slipping out of a golden age of AAA games and moving into an indie renaissance sort of thing going on? Oh, like I these games,
tough to say that.
It's tough. Sorry. Good? I think it's a genre thing too, though. Like, a lot of games come out and they're really lazy. And honestly, my You Gambled also relates to this, but the book I'm reading, what was it called again, Pete? The fucking book that you...
Blood, Sweat, and Pixels.
Blood, Sweat, and Pixels has, like, really opened my eyes to the way that games are made and sort of just, like, the cycle that happens now in, like, 2018, mm-hmm. where they start making these games and then so much behind the scene changes.
Yeah.
And when you have a big
publisher,
a lot of times that can sway the way the game is coming out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just feel like with these two in particular, they're just very flat.
Well, so as I said, at the same time, I actually am excited about the Division. I think I will pick it up because, first of all, I liked the gameplay. I liked the traversal of the city. I thought it started raining when I was playing, and it just changed the whole scape of Washington. And it feels cool to me. I kind of missed out on the Division because I stopped playing after the launch, and I was like, oh, this is okay.
Whatever. I sold it back.
Yeah. I remember I started playing, I think, around the time that you did, too. But I like the third over-the-shoulder, just like...
Yeah.
It feels comforting to me, and yes, it's comfort food, like you said, Andrew, but also playing with Nick and Mike, like, kind of, it's really the team play. If you're playing with other people, it elevates the game.
Also, we've heard the end game.
Yeah, with the dark sectors and... there is just regular PvP modes.
I mean, the Division 1 came out flat, and everyone said it was flat, and then the end game apparently changed a lot of things.
Yeah, Dark Zone was...
And I played Division 1 till its ending, and you know, I didn't have anyone to play it with, so I never got to experience any of the end game content. So a part of me is a little bit excited for Division 2 in that regard, because I'll finally have people to actually go through these things.
If we're talking about the two, which one I would play, and if you guys are getting it, I might also option getting Division 2.
Yeah.
And the only reason I would is because the Dark Zones are essentially Escape from Tarkov, a game I've talked a lot about on the podcast, which is instance-based loot raids that if you make it out, you keep it. If you don't make it out, you lose everything.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really good idea for an end game for a looting game, especially one that's... It just works for the third-person, just army-ish shooter that this is. Well,
you get that like heart-pumping feeling in a game like PUBG where it's high risk, high reward.
Yeah, but you don't earn anything in that game.
No.
That's
the
difference.
But I'm saying like that real like, oh, I might start sweating right now because I don't know if...
Well, yeah, if there's four of us and we opened a crate and we all got like really crazy loot, and we're like, we got to get the fuck out of here, and then there's people camping our extraction, that's scary. That's hard.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait. I'm not going to do this day one.
Yeah.
100% not doing this day one. But... if you guys get into it and the end game is reviewed to be just like that, I will totally get in it because that sounds fun to me.
So anyway, there is another open beta coming out if anyone wants to try it for Division 2. I've also been playing a couple indie games. I started playing Sunless Skies, which is an RPG. It's like steampunk, England monarch stuff. And essentially, it's pen and paper RPG. You get to make decisions on the fly, have the sort of dice roll type things with skills and stuff like that. I like it. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it in the future because I haven't gotten too far into it. I've also been playing Piku Niku, which is like
the fuck kind of name is that?
I don't know, but you're like this little gumdrop creature and it's a platformer and there's this guy who steals everyone's money and has robots.
It's free on Twitch Prime, actually.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
If you have Amazon Prime and you link your account to Twitch, you get it for free right now.
Yeah, I'm planning to review Piku Niku also.
Yep.
It's hard for me to say.
And then the biggest release, arguably, the thing that's really what everyone is talking about right now, Apex Legends. Nick, you haven't tried it yet, but me and Pete have tried it, and I've already made my review of this game. Because, I don't know, I just out of nowhere. It's
inspiration.
Yeah, it... So this game album dropped out of nowhere in the last 2 weeks. It was actually a week ago. It was when I was sick. And I remember just like sitting there watching Twitch because, like I said, I wasn't playing anything. And Shroud was talking about it. He was NDA'd on it. And him and a lot of other popular streamers are partners with this game.
Yeah.
Meaning they were, you know, beta testing it. And then they're also like promoting it. And so it's a battle royale game, first person from Respawn Entertainment, the people that made Titanfall.
Yeah.
And it dropped out of nowhere, and it's huge. It's the number one streaming game on Twitch. It's beat out Fortnite 10 days in a row, which is huge. No other game has done that since Fortnite has started.
At the same time, it's like all the streamers who would be playing Fortnite are playing Apex.
No, I don't. I think Ninja's back to Fortnite.
Is he?
I don't think he's partnered on this game. He was playing this for a while, but a lot of people are playing this game on Twitch. And Shroud in particular, somebody who usually gets around 35,000 viewers, is at over 100K every single day now. Yeah. Since he started playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a joint effort between EA and Respawn and him to, you know, bolster his audience and promote the game. But it's really fucking good.
Yeah.
And I'll talk more about it later, but also at the same time, just check out my review. I think that I touch really, you know, briefly on what makes the game different.
Yeah.
Which isn't a lot. I think if you look at this game on Twitch or if you look at pictures or videos of it, you might go, what's different about this or what's good? It just looks generic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the little things they do right.
Yeah.
And also, it was an amazing launch.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the best launch of any shooter I've ever seen.
There was like some funny quote from one of the game makers who said, like, essentially, like, why would we not do it this way when we're owned now by EA? We're going up against all these other developers and, like, the game essentially has loot boxes in it. Like, all these things are stacked against their favor of how the game would launch. So why don't we just release the game and let people experience it and make their own judgment?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a risky thing to do, though.
I know.
Especially, like I mentioned in my review, too, a lot of other shooters, AAA games, Call of Duty, Battlefield, they launch with a lot of issues, a lot of server issues. A lot of times when you load up your new game in 2019, you cannot get in because the servers are crashing because there are too many people accessing the game. This game dropped out of nowhere, and it was so smooth and has been so smooth.
Yeah. I've heard of people having crashes like somewhat frequently.
So little, though. So little of what I've seen has been on the server. And
On my end, I haven't had really any big issues. And I just want to give a final note here about the game is, like, I think this is my favorite Battle Royale game, and I think part of it has to do with how much I like Overwatch, but it feels very natural having these
classes
and characters, and I'm not that great with my, like, aiming skills.
With my mechanical skills.
So to be able to play a character like Bloodhound who has tracking abilities and is useful as a support role, I'm really happy to be able to not feel like, well, I'm bad at shooters.
Yeah.
So why am I playing this?
And it's free. So check that shit out. It's on everything. And you could just download it right now and try it out with your friends. It's a fucking awesome game.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what's loaded up. We had a lot of shit. Fucking damn. We're playing games out here.
Damn. So.
Except for me, of course. As always, I'm playing very little. But I'm, you know, looking at the stream of Metro right now, I'm like, ooh. I'm trying to fucking
I bought Metro also, and Nick and I have been playing Far Cry New Dawn, so we'll talk about that.
There's more stuff.
There's gonna be content.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the news.
The news.
All right, very quickly, gonna go through the release dates here. Yakuza Kiwami came out on PC, or is coming out on PC on February 19th. This is already out on the consoles, obviously, but it's getting ported. And then the big one that we mentioned previously that we tried out was Anthem. It's coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on February 22nd.
But, like, for some people, it's released earlier.
It's early.
There's this fucked
EA,
up schedule.
It's EA. It's like the
access.
EA access thing. You get it earlier. Whatever. Yeah. People are streaming it right now. Yeah. But, check that out. And then Dirt Rally 2.0 is coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on February 26th.
What is Dirt Rally?
It's like a
motorcycle?
No. It's like... What's the name of the sport? It's when you're just a dirty car in dirt roads and you're just racing, like, you're just out there.
I don't know. Somebody was.
They have it in VR too.
It's called Dirty Cars.
They have a dirt game in VR, which is supposedly pretty cool.
Isn't it called like off-roading or something?
I don't know, dude.
We don't know cars.
Anyway,
sorry,
Dirt Rally is coming out. Also on the 26th, we got the Lego Movie 2 official game coming out on PS4, Switch, and Xbox One. Lego games are always really good. I wonder how they'll adapt the story, which I just saw yesterday.
Nice.
Very funny movie.
I love the first one.
I wouldn't say it's as good as the first one, but it's fucking, it does the same,
worth it.
It has the same meta sense of humor and just yeah. like immediate quirkiness and like snappiness to the jokes that mm-hmm. I think made the first one really good.
Yeah.
So I really liked it. And hopefully the game's good. Mm-hmm. Also on the 26th, again, we have Stellaris. The console edition is coming out on PS4 and Xbox One.
That's a horrible name.
Yeah. I don't know why they'd call it the console edition.
It's just like, it's the
Does
edition.
That say that on the box?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, that'd be a misstep.
Really bad.
Yeah.
On February 28th, we have a cool game coming out on Switch. It's the spiritual successor to Undertale, a game you played, Pete.
Yeah.
Deltarune. It's coming out on the Switch.
Yeah, it's the same developer. It looks very similar. But anyway, there's a episode one of it is available for free right now, and I think two is going to be available, but the full game is you got to pay for.
Yes, on yep. February 28th.
Yep.
And then we're throwing it back. This is like some 2005 shit right here. Dead or Alive 6 is coming out on March 1st for PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Yeah.
This is a game. It's a fighting game with a bunch of ladies. It's like an anime waifu game.
Yeah. But,
and they had volleyball, I remember, at one point.
Mm-hmm.
It's absurd. And I'm yeah. surprised that these games still get made in 2019. But they're out here. So
as long as there are neckbeards, these games.
As long as there are neckbeards, there will be Dead or Alive games. That's 100% true. So check out those physics and have fun at Dead or Alive.
Physics.
All right, moving on to the news.
Wah, wah. Yeah.
Now, we already mentioned it, what's loaded up, and obviously, I have a review of this.
Yeah.
Apex Legends dropped out of fucking nowhere. It got 25 million players within a week signed
Damn.
Into this fucking game. It's a lot of people signing in and playing immediately. It's what happens when you release shit for free from respectable people. Then, you know, the hype blows it up.
Yeah.
And Pete, you wrote here, what does it mean for Battle Royale?
Yeah.
I touch about a bit more on that in my review, and what it does to the genre,
yeah,
everything like that, which is, it's cool to have been watching this evolve since essentially day one of the podcast,
yeah.
where we were like, oh, that's a thing.
Well,
I built the PC
before Fortnite even had
yeah. its mode and everything. Mm-hmm. When we literally have covered Battle Royale as
from its inception
at like blowing up,
yeah,
because it's been going on for years, but it really came into the mainstream in the last 2 years.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see if the game has like longevity.
Does it overshadow Anthem?
Well, we'll see.
Because EA,
I don't know, doing
things. They always do this.
I know, right? Not to mention that, but it
happened to Titanfall.
Yeah. So what are they?
They reverse Titanfall.
So the reason they put Titanfall, what happened with Titanfall 2 is that Battlefield released in the same time window.
Yeah, that's what.
And then Titanfall was like smashed.
Yeah. So Titanfall 2 had problems financially because of that. And actually, a piece of news. So initially with Apex, they were like, yeah, nah, there's not going to be any more Titanfall games. And then within the same week, they were like, wait, no, later in the year, more mainstream Titanfall content is coming out. So that's good news.
Yeah.
It's funny because Apex, you'll notice a lot of the parts of the maps are straight up multiplayer maps.
Yeah.
It's almost like Blackout
from
for Titanfall.
Yeah.
For the Call of Duty one.
And also another note, just talking about EA, is that the Battlefield 5 Firestorm mode, their Battle Royale mode, that's supposed to come out
in March. Yeah.
So it's like, what is this release window
they
here?
Drop a fucking BR game and dick their other games. Maybe they're throwing them a bone for fucking them over with Titanfall.
Maybe.
They're fucking themselves
that's
over.
That's usually not how it goes down, but it's just questionable decisions all around.
Yep, there was some, speaking of big companies, publishers, and their going-ons, Activision Blizzard laid off 8% of its staff.
That's a lot.
Roughly 800 people. If you saw on social media, there's a lot of dispute of what this is, what it means. The staff, most of it was marketing and PR staff. A lot of them were working on games like Destiny, and now that Destiny's no longer part of Activision, Bungie's no longer part of Activision, I guess they're cutting those people. But like, can't you repurpose those people? And another part of this also is that Blizzard said that they're not releasing any big games in 2019.
They're downscaling.
And also that since they're making budget cuts, they're also planning on making more games in the future.
Mobile games.
Probably mobile games.
It has to be mobile games.
Yeah.
So
we're watching the downfall of several. We've watched, it's been very interesting last 10 years.
Yeah.
But we've watched the downfall of several big studios.
Yeah.
Bungie, who was under this umbrella. I mean, man, reading in Blood, Sweat, and Pixels the story of Destiny 1 is fucking fascinating.
Yeah.
It's crazy how they fucked up so bad. Mm-hmm. And just, it's really sad, actually.
They didn't have a vision for what the game was going to be.
It's really sad. It's like you have a team that was making Halo for so long.
Yeah.
They don't know who they are anymore after mm-hmm. that. And then you just the whole story of that, the way the game got made is fucking yeah. crazy. But Blizzard's the same thing. I think Blizzard is on the decline. I think...
That's what happens when you don't release a game between, like, 13 years.
Yeah. yeah. And it makes you wonder, like, are they hedging their bets on Overwatch right now? Overwatch League just relaunched for the second season.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's still definitely making revenue for them. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. It's funny because...
WoW is still making tons of money, I bet.
With their... They have like the vanilla throwback version of WoW. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that's probably
yeah.
doing pretty decent, I can imagine. But I don't know. We're going to have eventually I'll call it either the state of the industry or
state of
the union, essentially,
yeah. of video
of
games.
The industry, because we definitely have, we've been reporting on a lot of studios and things that are
yeah.
been kind of sketchy.
Things are shifting around.
Also, the question of people, as you said, well, state of the union, but people wondering if people in the game industry should form more unions and unionize and get.
Yeah, that's definitely a topic I see a lot on Twitter.
And I just wanted to side note that Danny O'Dwyer has his No Quit podcast. He recently interviewed somebody who's very involved with the unions. So if you're interested, check that out, because it's very good insight onto literally like a couple weeks later after that podcast came out, this whole thing happened with Activision Blizzard. So there's a lot going
on. It's so weird for me to say Activision Blizzard. Like, I hate it.
I know,
I
know.
Yeah, it feels bad, man.
It feels like a bad word. Man.
Well, on a complete flip side of the industry, the DICE Awards happened. God of War swept. They took so many awards. It was absurd.
Deservedly so.
They should have just like had
the
Corey,
God of War awards.
The God of yeah, exactly. They should have just yeah. had Corey Barlog just sit on the stage the whole time.
Yeah, just like have a seat. Just
yeah,
like,
so he
take
so
a
we
seat,
wouldn't
so you don't have,
to
keep getting
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so he wouldn't have.
Well,
to keep
Well, did he physically
up.
Get up all the time? Was it music and art direction and all that? Because that wouldn't be him every time.
Maybe. Oh well, no, it wasn't every single. No, no, no. But there were a few. It won the game of the year for the
of course.
Awards.
Of course it did.
Well done.
So director Neil Blomkamp, if you're unfamiliar with his work, he did fucking
District 9 and Chappie.
Chappie, and he did Elysium? Was that the one with Matt Damon?
Did he do that one?
I'm pretty
sure.
That
was Tom Hanks.
No. He likes alien shit.
With Rat Damon?
And did he release it already? Or release?
So he released on, it was a YouTube release. It's a short film highlighting from Anthem. And it's weird because I watched this thing and it seems like it's a teaser trailer for the game, because it's all like leading up to something. It's essentially a movie trailer, but it's supposed to be just like a short movie. Okay. I don't know if they're going to expand on this. People are saying, well, what if they made like an Anthem Netflix show? And Neil Blomkamp,
doesn't Anthem have Grimoire cards like fucking Destiny did?
There's
like,
some,
isn't the lore all online?
But it's not.
No,
all.
It's in the game. It's in the game.
Okay. It's in the game, but you pick up lore information, yeah.
Little lore cards.
Anyway, I thought it was a pretty cool short film. I can understand how it would increase hype for some people. It just... You know, there's so many game tie-ins now. There's going to be a Resident Evil TV show on Netflix. There's going to be the Witcher one. So this is a trend now.
There's too many, bro. There's too many of them.
Well, let's just see one that's actually good.
Nick, yeah. What about this? The next little note right here.
Sonic Mania devs have formed a new studio called Evening Star.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
See, I don't know what that means.
Are they going to make new shit?
I'm going to assume that the boost in money they got from actually knocking it out of the park has freed them, not freed them from Sega's clutches, but they probably willingly went their own ways. They're yeah. probably going to use what they learned to make some pretty cool shit.
Yeah,
I think they're going to make their own games.
Little Switch platformers, I'd guess.
That yeah, would be awesome.
Right? Most likely. But
so let's get some original titles.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good to look out for. They know what they're doing.
See, that's good news. Again, like you see indie people coming out and it's like, oh, great. And then it's like, yeah, fucking 8%, 800 people in the trash. Activision.
In the trash.
You see it so often with these fucking big companies, man.
Yeah.
In every industry, the second they go public and they start fucking... Have you ever heard a story where it was like, yeah, the minute we got bought out and went, we were so happy. Like, yeah, they always say that, right?
There's always
first,
some
but every company, every single company that gets bought out and is under a big corporate umbrella, they want freedom. Bungie fucking hate, like, eventually hated working with Microsoft. They just wanted to be alone. They wanted to make their own fucking games after a while, and this is where we are now.
And they got out from Activision.
They chew them out, and it's an unfortunate reality, I think, in this industry in particular, that game studios and developers need financial help.
Yeah, well,
they, and so they lean on these bigger companies.
They need the publishers.
And then they get the life drained out of them.
Yep.
So anyway, that's the regular ass news, but we did, like Pete said at the top of the episode, have a Nintendo Direct happen last week.
Uh-huh.
Some fucking dope shit's coming out.
Yeah, so we have some highlights here, starting with which Super Mario Maker 2 was announced, and it's coming out in June 2019 for Switch. They insinuated a lot in the trailer that there's going to be co-op, because it says Super Mario Maker 2, and then it shows Mario and Luigi.
Well, yeah.
So it's like, come on, you're going to have some co-op play there.
I mean, that would be great. It's a very, very popular game.
I was gonna say, this game was huge.
Yeah.
It still is. I think a lot of people make like crazy. You ever seen the, if you browse Reddit or the internet in general, in any gaming capacity, you've likely seen some crazy fucking level someone's made in Mario Maker. That, you know, they always make these insane, precise platforming levels where you just have to, you have to be perfect to do them.
I think we're reaching a point where we're making maps and making your own levels is coming back.
That's
like,
good.
Like I'm just
Nick likes that.
I'm going to skip a little
I'm
bit.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, we'll mention this later, but Dragon Quest Builders 2 is also coming for Switch on July 12th. We have Dreams coming out this year.
Yeah.
The Far Cry map maker was excellent.
Yes. Is there a map maker for, or did they just move the elements from?
I think if you probably, we didn't open it up.
Yeah, we didn't really investigate.
We didn't investigate Far Cry 5. It's probably been updated though, if I had to guess.
With elements.
All the new assets.
Yeah, I would think so.
That's cool. Do you think you have to own New Dawn in order to see them, or do you think everyone's getting those?
No, probably, because I mean, we were able to get all the Assassin's Creed stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't own it on PC, so. I would assume so.
Yeah. Smash Ultimate, they had a non-update. They're like, yeah, by the way, there's going to be an update in the spring 3.0, but there's nothing else we can tell you other than Joker's coming at the end of April.
Well, speaking of that game, have you guys played the new Piranha Plant character?
No, not yet.
I fucking love it. I was just playing it earlier.
Are they
fucking
good?
Oh, man, Piranha Plant's so fun. It's so much fun to play.
I haven't touched my Switch
in
3 weeks.
Oh. I love Smash so much. Like I play it at work. I played it at work the other day. Smash is just my go-to, man. I love
it. It's fun.
It's so good. The input delay is still so ridiculous in that game, though. It's like I don't understand how they got away with it, but it's, I don't know. I think the Piranha Plant's surprisingly really fun. Moveset's really good, and like just a silly character
to
play.
I'll probably just come back for the DLC characters, Joker, and I was telling you, who would make an excellent
Sora?
No, not Sora. I think the Hollow Knight would make an excellent character in.
It would look weird in that universe, though. They'd have to make it 3D looking.
Yeah,
which is odd. Which, speaking of
Jump Force,
we did get online a release date or an announcement for the new Hollow Knight game.
Yeah,
basically they took the Hornet DLC and they're making a full second game, which I'm so excited about. And our Discord, we were talking about it in Discord too. That's fucking yes. Oh my god, I love that game so much. Hollow Knight, I loved. I 108% of that game. Like out of 113%.
I loved watching you play some of that game.
It's very, 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 very good.
So the Metroidvania style game Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night is coming to Switch in the summer of 2019.
I think I just downloaded that for free on my Xbox One. I think it's like a free. It's basically just a Symphony of the Night.
This was one of the developers, the main producer of Symphony of the Night. He continued, and they did some crowdfunding to be like, hey, people want me to make another Metroidvania game here.
Yeah.
And here it is.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. It looks really great.
You should ask Harry.
Another great Switch game.
Another great Switch game.
I love Metroidvanias. I mean,
so,
obviously, I just said how much I like Hollow Knight.
We're gonna towards the end of this, let's get some more ports, but there is a port, Dragon Quest, what is it, 11?
Yeah.
XI? Okay.
That's, it's 11.
That's Roman 11. Numerals. It's coming to Switch this fall. So that game was well reviewed. People liked it. It's a new Dragon Quest game.
Yeah, slimes.
Slimes.
Are you good?
No, I'm good.
I love slimes. Great. The spotted slimes?
Nah.
Y'all don't know
just
about
the
that?
Blue ones, dog. Don't even start talking shit.
Game Boy
Why
games?
Are you fronting?
I'm angry.
Am I fronting?
I'm going to flip the table.
Fire Emblem, Three Houses. In other words, more Smash Bros. Characters to put into Smash. Dragon Ball. So anyway. Fire Emblem Three Houses is pushed back to July. It was supposed to come out.
Yeah, but is Korn in the game or
this
what?
Spring. No, they have new characters every time. It's always
we get Dragon Lady.
I don't know, man.
You can get this?
There's so much Fire Emblem, god damn it.
There's too many goddamn sword characters in Smash.
How Fire Emblem is, I guess, in Japan. I guess here too.
People like it, man, in the mobile game.
Fuck.
The mobile game, which I don't remember. Was it Tactics or some shit? I don't know.
It's just funny because of all like the JRPGs, like I never, ever have stepped foot in the world of Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Should I?
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone...
Is it too late now? That's the important question. There's so many games. Where do you start?
I don't know.
Well, I think each is like a standalone type of story type deal.
Well, but you said there's like continuity between the characters.
Well...
Like, I thought Marth was the granddaddy OG.
Well, oh, yeah. Granddad. I mean, they all exist in the lineage, but it's not like it's the same characters every time going to the next game.
I'm not saying
that. Yeah, Forefather Marth.
It's like you go into three houses and you'd be like, yeah, my granddad was Crom. You know what I'm saying?
He was a crumb.
I don't know, man. Does the story matter that much? I guess it's just more about the swords.
But kind of.
But a little bit. RPGs, you...
But just do like a quick YouTube like you did with Kingdom Hearts.
I played Kingdom Hearts, so I needed the YouTube to supplement my already existing knowledge.
True, you're going to have to... That's a lot of backstory on Fire Emblem.
Well,
maybe one day when I'm dead.
Move over, Apex. Move over, Fortnite. The best battle royale to ever come out is out now, now, on your Nintendo Switch if you have the online service.
Tetris 99 blocks enter the arena. Only one will survive.
Only one comes out.
No, I actually have no idea how this works. I downloaded it. And
so I've seen people playing it, and I haven't played it yet. Essentially, you can do like some sort of attack type thing if you succeed in one of your block moving down things. I don't know how to describe Tetris.
Oh, I want to check it out. I want to try it.
It gets intense as it goes on, and then eventually one survives.
Oh, but it looks fun. Battle Royale Tetris.
That's so silly.
This game, Tetris has had such an appeal and longevity. Tetris Effect came out in VR.
That's the one that people are going nuts for.
People love it.
Yo, I got to get it. Yeah. I have my VR right over there, man. I want to just turn it on and fucking play Tetris.
It's so simple. It's such a simple game.
Anything colorful and nice with sparkles in VR is just comfortable. It's like you're just in this world and you just feel like you're surrounded by nice cubes.
Yeah, I like...
Nice cubes.
It's like ice cubes, but with an N.
Yeah. It's fucking beautiful. Nick, you speaking of the complete opposite of like peacefulness and like
literal nightmare world.
Literally Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice is coming to Switch.
That's fucking weird to me.
Spring 2019.
It's got to look like squares.
I got to tell you, this is probably going to not be... We're always saying it's a good game on Switch. This is not a good game on Switch.
No, I don't think so either, especially because when you're telling me about it, you're like, yeah, you need the headphones on.
Playing with headphones because the 3D sound, it's whispering you the whole time. You're going to have that out of the Switch tin speakers? No way.
And there's no Bluetooth headphone support right now. So you can't fucking just like, you gotta snake that cord on that animal and just fucking play that fucking scary ass game that's made in... It's like Unreal. It's one of the best looking indie games ever. The game looks incredible.
It looks AAA.
And you're going to fucking put that shit on Switch? I don't know, man. All of us are questioning it, so we'll see when it comes out.
Yeah, you can do it, props, but I feel like you're
going to... And by spring?
No matter what they do, part of this, the game's like heart isn't going to not be in it, unfortunately. Yeah.
It's just going to be one of those games where it's like, cool, it's on the Switch, but I'm good.
Maybe they're just trying to get in like a little bit money before they're purely exclusive to Microsoft.
No, I don't know.
They probably just spread the message as much as they can.
I mean, so like, I'm not going to play it, but I'm glad that it's on Switch.
Yeah.
Because I like the more mature titles to be coming there. Yeah. I like to be having like a big library.
Agreed.
And speaking of the library expanding, three more games on this list really quickly.
Unravel 2,
the game that album dropped during E3. You're basically just Yarn Boy and Yarn Girl, and you swing around and you fucking just like, you're in a beautiful world.
Oh.
It's a 3D side scroller.
Okay.
It looks good.
And then. Final Fantasy VII.
And Final Fantasy IX, too, which is out now.
Yeah, 9 is out now. I saw it on the marketplace.
9 is out now.
Is 9 good?
9 is great.
People like
9's
it?
9's my second favorite.
Oh, nice. Shit. Are you going to get it on Switch?
That's what I was thinking. When I said I haven't played my Switch in 3 weeks, I was like, do I pick up 9?
It looks like it would be really good.
Or do you pick up 7
Switch
and play it for the 40th time on your Switch?
I'm going to get it on my Switch.
Why would I play it on Switch, though? I have it on PSP. I got it on the go already.
You're gonna dig that out.
Oh shit! Spinning disc media.
It depends on what port of 5.7 they put on the Switch. I'm hoping it's the Steam version with the PS4 improvements, but I don't know.
Oh dang! Mm. Well, I mean, I'm stoked just to see all these games coming out on Switch.
This is a great game to put on the Nintendo Switch to have on the go.
Yeah, I agree. I've never played Final Fantasy VII, so I will take this on the go.
I'm so curious if you actually play it. Like you got to let me know what you're thinking about it. I want to know every step of the way, every choice.
Well, so what? So do I need to like? Do we need to do like a PTG plays of this game so that you can be involved?
I need to
like.
Know.
I want you. I want you there with me at all times.
Nick was so interested, but I'm like, yeah, I got the PlayStation Classic one. Maybe I'll try Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, I have that too. Fuck, should I start it on that?
Fuck shit stack.
Oh, dang. Shit.
That version of it, though, is like straight up the original PS1 version. Doesn't have any of the quality of life stuff.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Gotta get the Steam one.
Anyway.
Biggest announcement, in my opinion.
Blindsided.
Huge. This is fucking amazing.
By this opening, a classic opening of this boy on these waves, sailing this boat in this island in this storm.
Yep.
And you zoom up and you see that it is none other than Link.
From Legend of Zelda.
Link's Awakening.
Link's Awakening is getting a full-blown remake for the Switch coming this year. And it looks amazing.
3D.
It's the same fucking map and game, but just, it's like the Resident Evil 2 treatment.
Yeah.
But just for Zelda.
Yeah.
And it looks so fucking good.
It looks
What did you guys
fun.
Think of the art style? I think it looks amazing.
I think it looks really, really polished and like, you know how Nintendo has, they've perfected like cartoony graphics where it looks like a toy.
I think so.
It looks like a toy that you could just pick out of your screen and you want to take a bite out of it.
Excuse me about that last part.
It looks like it's made out of marzipan. You know what I'm saying? It looks like a fucking cake that somebody made.
I think
you're not wrong. It's like the Kirby game. It's got that, and they do it in Unreal Engine now where it's got that like glow effect to everything. Yeah. So everything just looks like fucking nice.
It looks nice.
This is a lot of people's favorite Zelda game.
It's a big news. So they're going to start hitting the Game Boy catalog.
They got to do Link to the Past next.
I mean, I don't know if they're going to give Link to the Past the same treatment, but I mean, other Game Boy games that like Oracle of Seasons, Oracle of Ages were both really good Game Boy Color games that would be perfect for this kind of treatment.
Well, have you played Link's Awakening?
I have. I actually have it. I have the original card.
Yeah, and you like it.
Yeah.
This is like a really big fucking news.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
So like, I don't see a world where this doesn't sell well and justify more remakes.
More of it? Yeah.
So of course they will. And also we live in a world now where like the game industry is folding over itself in a good way. We're getting Resident Evil 2 remake. We're going to get these remakes and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's kind of like the big difference between movies and games where like I'm most of the time excited and intrigued over a remake of a game. With movies, I'm like, I don't need to see a new Wizard of Oz. Like I'm fucking good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I think,
why? Because like the conventions of movies, like you're going to modernize the Wizard of Oz and it's going to have that like, oh, here's CGI and all this bullshit.
Yeah.
But like a game like Resident Evil 2, I feel like they maintain the integrity of the tone and how that game feels. And I think the game makers, like in this case too, especially Nintendo with how much control they have.
Yeah.
Can make it new, but also old.
Yeah, you know it allows kids to also. It's like it's really fun for parents.
Yeah,
and older generations.
That's,
like
that's a pretty good point.
That's the biggest thing to me. Like if I had kids and Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening came out, I'm like, oh, that's my childhood. My kid gets to play it, and a lot of kids, unfortunately, they don't like to fucking play like shitty 2D graphics anymore. You know, and a lot of times those games have
shitty
stuff,
in quotes.
A lot of times those games have exactly. A lot of times those games have things like quality of life. Things like Final Fantasy VII, where it's like it's a little dated, and if they update those things along with the graphics, I think it's always a really cool thing to share with the fam.
Well, I'm
like
excited.
Your brother Ari, for example.
Yeah,
he gets to share with that child.
That child, all the Sonic
child
games.
Gets to play all.
Except
them
they're never
going
to remake. I mean, I guess who knows what the hell the Sonic.
Well, you would.
Team's
I don't know
now.
If you'd want a remake of a 2D Sonic game
because the 3D is always horrible. But they do have Sonic Mania to grow up with. So
true. Yeah. All right, boys. I think it's time to move on to the number one game show.
Oh, yeah?
I haven't hosted this in a long time, and I got a very special little segment for y'all today. We're going to move on to You Gambled.
Hey, kids! Welcome to You Gambled! The number one game show with stakes as high as New Braxton!
Well, shit.
I thought you were going
to
say
any guesses to what the topic is today?
I feel like you hinted at it before. I'm going to say like industry shakeups or something along the lines.
You said something about industry, yeah.
Oh, did I?
In regards to the book you were reading.
Nah. All right, so this is year two of PTG, so I thought it would be appropriate to do second year success stories.
Oh.
Second year success stories.
And so that's a vague... So games that improved in their second year.
Oh, so Destiny.
Yeah, well, yeah. Question. It's the first question. But... yeah, so it's not necessarily limited to
the second year. What the fuck?
But that is very particular, but also really good.
It's very suited to us moving forward and growing.
You know, you did a good job.
My execution might not be as great as the topic itself, but I think there are some pretty fun questions in
there
here.
There might be a time where I look at you and I'm like, dude, what the fuck? But
there's
okay.
There's like one question that I think only Pete will know, but the rest I think are pretty decent questions.
Nah, all right. It's all good.
Y'all ready for this?
I am ready.
First question. Pete, you already called it out. Destiny. All right, which Destiny expansion was released exactly a year? What was that?
My phone.
Oh, exactly a year after Destiny first launched, and is considered a turning point for the game's quality.
Okay.
Is it A, The Dark Below, B, Rise of Iron, C, The Taken King, or D, House of Wolves? Okay. Please write your answers and provide the paper to me.
Yeet.
Yes, both of you got it correct. It is C, The Taken King.
Yeah.
The other expansions were smaller ones that came out within the first year or two of the game as well, but The Taken King was really the one that provided the most.
Was that the one that had
beefiness?
Orcs.
Yeah,
we're doing that raid. That was
a really good raid came out with this expansion, and they overhauled a lot of the loot and a lot of just like the
the leveling works.
It was Destiny 2.0. It was when it really got out of the trash and was like, oh, Destiny? Yeah, like we'll play this game.
Pulled itself out of the pit.
The Taken King was it.
It pulled itself out of the pit.
It did.
Yeah. No.
So another expansion. 2 years after release, what class was added in Diablo 3's Reaper of Souls expansion? Is it A, the Necromancer, B, the Crusader, C, the Demon Hunter, or D, the Paladin?
God, Jesus Christ, I have no idea. All I know is that people were hyped for this, and I don't think this is right, though, because I don't know anything about Diablo
3. So it's the Reaper of Souls expansion, specifically.
Okay.
Nick, you say A, and Pete, you also say A. So that's why I reiterated saying the Reaper of Souls expansion, because it was actually the Crusader that came out with that expansion. The Necromancer came out. Yeah, I forgot to ask you if you guys are gambling.
Nah, I wasn't going to gamble anyway.
So I didn't gamble.
Because I don't feel confident in this topic right now.
Yeah, hold on. No, you'll be good. You'll be good.
Yeah, but the thing is, Reaper of Souls is kind of like... it can trip you up, you giving us that hymn.
Yeah,
well, so here's the thing. Means. Reaper of Souls, so it was the expansion pack.
Yeah.
Now, the Necromancer came out as its own class in a small update that you could pay for. Okay. It wasn't a full-on expansion. The expansion Reaper of Souls added an act, and it also launched alongside the console release of the game.
Oh, that's because I thought Reaper of Souls was just the subtitle of the game itself.
No, Reaper of Souls was the actual expansion.
That was when they... because they had a pretty cruddy launch for the game.
They had a really
game was
bad
really
launch.
Bad. Yeah. Another game in Pixels. That's where I got a lot of the inspiration for this topic came from that.
Yes.
From that
they book. Totally rebooted the game with that.
Reaper of Souls was the turning point for that game. I'm surprised you got that wrong. You just read that book.
Well, I read that chapter a while ago. I'm still reading it
I guess
now.
So, yeah. The Crusader, I don't know if they necessarily mentioned the Crusader, though, but Crusader is super fun to play.
Yeah.
All right. I thought if any of those answers would trip you up, it would be Paladin, because Paladin was a very popular class from Diablo 2.
I mean, that's what I played as.
Yeah.
I played.
That's what people wanted to come out in Reaper of Souls, but the Crusader was an iteration on that style of character.
So if I gamble 1 point, I get back 1 point, right?
And then extra.
So you have 2 points.
I'm going to gamble
Both one. Of you have 2 points.
I'm going to gamble 1 point.
All right, okay. Nick, you going to gamble?
No.
All right. So, No Man's Sky. They added a major update a year after launch called the Pathfinder update.
Ooh.
What new feature was added?
Shit.
Is it A, permadeath option? Like a hardcore mode. B, new vehicles. C, the ability to share bases with other players. Or D, all of the above. It's great you gambled 1 point. Nick,
can you give
gamble.
Us the what's
yeah, that? Permadeath, new vehicles, ability to share bases with other players, or all the above.
Fuck.
Okay.
I thought this was such an easy topic.
I mean, I didn't play No Man's Sky past launch, so fuck. I do know one of the things. I'm not sure, actually. I'm not sure if they added everything or just.
Okay. Nick, you wrote A, and Pete, you wrote what?
Three, share, to share bases.
So actually, all of those things were added.
I remember permadeath being a thing. I don't remember anything else.
I thought permadeath was at launch.
No.
Survival mode was different.
The thing that tripped me up about this was I forgot that sharing bases with other players was added to this. Because I remember you could make bases.
You could build them.
You could share them, too.
Yeah, that's why I didn't
know. And so I forgot about that. But yeah, all three of these features were added a year after launch. And this isn't even the biggest update that came out. The latest one that came out this year, last year, 2018, was the fucking huge update that actually added multiplayer and everything.
Yeah.
But this was an actual year after launch they added these features.
Yeah, damn. I didn't know you could share bases, so I knew there was permanent permadeath.
I forgot, but I was looking at the feature releases.
Yeah, that was a big one.
All right.
Damn.
This is a low scoring game. I thought this was easy. I'm sorry, guys.
All right,
that's the way it normally goes.
Yeah. All right, the last two I think are decent as well.
Go for
any bets? Pete, you lost a point.
I lost a point.
So you go down to one. Nick, you're at two.
Yeah, I'm staying. No bets.
Pete, you betting?
This is not betting.
All right, Pete, this is funny because it's probably the only question you're going to know. Warframe launched in 2013 and subsequently released free updates over the next several years.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first cinematic story quest added to the game in this time? It's question four. I'm sorry.
It's supposed to be hard.
Is it A, The Sacrifice, B, Planes of Eidolon, C, The War Within, or D, The Second Dream?
Okay.
Shite.
Hold on. I actually have to go back to the wiki because I didn't circle which
second.
One it
hold
is.
Hold on a second.
I'm fucked. I haven't played this since launch in 2013. Damn. It's so funny. Every single one of these games, besides Destiny, is just like, all right, I played like an hour of it years ago.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Except for Diablo. I've never played a second of Diablo 3.
Oh, shit. I'm stuck between the two that it would be.
I know one of these things you guys have mentioned in chat, but I'm not sure if it has to do with cinematics.
Okay.
Can you list the answers again?
Yeah, so it's The Sacrifice, Planes of Eidolon, The War Within, and The Second Dream.
All right, I have no idea. Take a guess.
Wait, hold on.
What'd you write? B? Second Dream. Pete, you got it right.
Holy shit.
Dream is the first cinematic story quest added to the game in December of 2015. Featured prominent characters from the game and introduced a new faction, the Sentients.
I was so split between that and The War Within because I forgot
which one came
first.
And it also had the awakening for the Tenno's true nature and stuff
like
that. So if you play that game, you get the Second Dream quest pretty early on.
Yeah.
But it's a long quest, I'm pretty sure, right? Like, it's like to the end game you play the Second Dream.
I don't
Dream.
Exactly remember where it was at, but...
It's pretty long.
And Planes of Eidolon is the first actual expansion with the open world.
War Within came out second, then Planes of Eidolon, then The Sacrifice, and then Fortuna just came out.
Sacrifice is the most recent...
I've only heard... You guys say Planes of Eidolon.
No, Fortuna is the newest one.
Well, Fortuna is another open world, but in terms of like personal stories,
Sacrifice. Yeah.
And yes.
All right. So that is our main question.
Three points.
He got 3 points.
I'm with two.
Nick with two. We're moving on to our bonus question. That is just a written answer.
Okay.
That's 5 points.
It's also hard. So how many years after GTA Online launched did Heist release?
Ooh.
How many years?
I like this
question. Second year success, but like it's
I really like this question.
Yeah, how many years?
Oh my God, this is such a good question.
I'm glad. I kind of pulled these questions out of my ass.
Let me think. Oh my God. I can't tell you how many times back on PS3, Mikey would text me back when we were in college and be like, they released Heist yet? I'm like, no, dog.
Yeah, no, it was a long time.
I was like,
where
no,
everyone was just
dog.
Like, oh man, the heist.
Fuck.
Like, when is this shit coming out?
Well, I'm thinking about like when they released it onto the next generation, and if like that was synonymous.
So let me just clarify the question a little bit more.
Okay.
So how many years after GTA Online launched did this come out? Because GTA Online did not launch with this game. So So don't think from the launch of the game. Think from when around GTA Online came out. How many years did it come out? After that.
Okay.
I need to think now. Hold on. Fuck. Oh, Jesus. I'm stuck between two answers.
Yeah.
All right. Take your time.
All right. Oh, shit. I think I'm going to get it wrong. I don't think it was that long. the game releases, the online doesn't come out for like a year.
Yeah, okay,
hold on. And then, like, how many... Oh, fuck, it's not going
to
take that long.
It's nah. crazy to think, because this game, first of all...
I'm going with it.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. Okay, so you're both wrong, unfortunately.
But you write two?
Or four. Four. It was actually only two. It was only like a year. It was closer to 2 years. So GTA Online launched in October 2013.
2013, yeah.
The online portion of it. Heist didn't come out until March 2015.
Makes sense.
I thought it was after I left college, though. What the
so,
fuck?
So it came out in 2013. Yeah. Online launched in what, 2014?
No, 13.
2013. Okay, and then it came onto the next gen in 2014, right?
Yeah.
So right almost after? not synonymous, but once it was on the next gen, it did the heist.
Yeah, I'll look at it.
I was split between one and two.
I was gonna say three actually, but shit.
Four. That means 5 years after the game release, did they add heist?
Yeah, well, because wasn't on so, eventually, because I thought it came out in 2014
shit
as well.
Came out.
Yeah,
The first update to GTA Online in 2013 was the Beach Bum update. If you remember that, I actually do remember that.
Oh, I don't.
Then they added deathmatch and race creators. Oh, and then they had the holiday gifts. Remember, it snowed for the first time in the online world, and you could throw snowballs. Like, mm-hmm. They made LA snow. It was awesome.
I didn't play that.
Sliding around.
That was fun.
It was so much fun. And then they had the Valentine's Day Massacre update in 2014 with the Bonnie and Clyde theme stuff.
Yeah.
And the business update where you can get your big houses and everything. And remember, that's when you get your fucking big house with the room, and you couldn't use it for another year because Heist didn't come out.
Yeah, remember the
2015
board?
In March.
Remember the board just sitting there and you couldn't access
it? It took them so long to fucking...
Yeah.
It's crazy when you look at it like as a games as a service type thing.
Yeah.
How long... It's similar to Warframe, the longevity of it here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost exactly the same. Warframe came out of early access in 2013, right?
Uh-huh.
It was in early access since 2011.
Well, that's an entirely different game now.
I know, but didn't come out till later for the next gen consoles.
I know, but I mean, like, in terms of putting out like these content drops over a course of time.
It took an extra month for it to come out on PS4 and Xbox One and Windows.
Right. I did the heist.
And it took an extra year for it on Windows, which I guess it released later on Windows. But yeah, fucking so many years it took.
I had my timelines crossed because I did do the heist in college. I thought it was after college I did it.
You might have been you might have thought towards the launch, because I still think that it's crazy that GTA Online didn't come out like till way later too. Like,
yeah,
but when was that actually?
I think our last year of college we started doing heists, right? 2016. That we actually did them as a group, Nick.
I think we were graduated by that point.
Were we? I feel like we played it.
No, I feel like we were graduated by that point, because it was after we started doing PTG stuff, or it was right before we did PTG stuff.
It was before.
So it would have been in that fall of the year that we graduated.
Fall of 2016, yeah.
So it actually only came out a month after the release of the game.
Yeah,
online.
I think.
So online wasn't super long after, because the game came out in September 17th, 2013.
Yeah, but like to reach its full potential, it took a while.
Yeah, so 2 years later... It got heist, which was the thing people wanted GTA Online for.
But it was only
and now we're having the same thing happen with Red Dead Online.
Yeah.
People are like, there's no content.
All right, well, that's you gambled.
How you gonna make money?
So relatively low scoring.
Yeah.
I have
you got 3 points. Nick, you got two. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised by that.
Pete takes away the victory.
Yeah, well, if I didn't gamble that one time, I would be
even more.
Yeah.
You have 4 points.
So those are games that, in my opinion, I thought got better.
That's an interesting topic.
Yeah, because hopefully it's like we're like those games. Hopefully we're out here improving in year two of Crazy Game.
Yeah.
Now, Pete, what do you want to say at the end of the episode here? What do you got for us? You got news? You got anything you want to say to people?
Well, just look at our social media. We're going to be posting more. We're going to make a big push now with this new year. There's going to be giveaways, more frequent giveaways,
more frequent,
more content dropping. That means videos, that means reviews, articles.
Yep.
And it's going to be fun. We're trying to build our community and have people to talk to and discuss this stuff, because we love talking about it.
Updated look. We're going to try and start a different, move our aesthetic a little bit different.
Yeah.
Just try some new shit.
Yeah,
we're out here evolving.
Have fun with it.
Help us evolve.
We're like Andrew's mantises. We're molting. We're molting our skin.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking crazy when they
do
molt.
Do they
bro.
Eat the skin?
No, they don't.
What the fuck? Are you good?
Well, unlike the mantises, we're going to eat the skin.
We're going to eat our own skin.
We're going to eat our own.
Actually, we're not going to do that. But what I will say is that we've got social media, like Pete said. So go follow us at PTG_podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And hit us up on Facebook too.
You good?
And then I'm actually really excited about this Far Cry video you guys are putting together.
Yeah,
you guys are making a new little series. We're brainstorming right now where they're playing New Dawn. It was a game that you guys dicked around a lot in Far Cry 5.
I think that's pretty much the entire game.
So the whole video series is just gonna be around you guys just making trash out of this game. Like,
it's fun. There's not a moment.
There's naked mole rats. There's alligators.
There's literally not a moment that I'm not entertained with this game. It's so much fun.
Yeah. You're just cracking up the whole time. I wish there was 3-player co-op. I want to get in on the action.
I'm sorry, Peaches.
That's all right, Peaches.
Peaches isn't here yet.
Yeah, we haven't seen Peaches.
Peaches evolves. Peaches is now like a liger or something.
A liger.
And mutated.
Peaches fused with the tiger or the lion. Peaches is a cougar.
It's a cougar.
Peaches is a cougar. All right, guys. That's our episode.
Yeah.
2 years we've been doing this trash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky Charms.
Find us in the garbage.
What?
Praise it.
What?
Praise I actually it? Had Cinnamon Toast Crunch at work twice this week.
Twice?
Yeah, it was good.
Like, you all right?
I ate eggs this morning.
Do you have the churros variation of it?
I like churros.
It's kind of like a strange thing, but it's pretty good.
Wait, churros. It's the same thing, though.
Yeah,
do they
just
like chop the churros up and dry them out?
It kind of looks like that.
That's fucked up.
Dried churros.
Yeah.
Praise it.
Yeah.